Good morning. It's 6:18 here on The Ticket. Thursday morning with the Musers. We're all functioning on just a couple of hours sleep after the U2 show last night here in Las Vegas at the Sphere. Plenty of details about our journey there and the concert throughout the day here on America's favorite radio station. Where right now it's time for the Observation Deck, and Gordo, brought to us by Tylock George Laser Eye Care and A-Number One Air.
I must confess, I'm really dragging this morning. I tried to get a couple hours of a nap yesterday in preparation for our late night, it just so happens that my brother was also in town this week, so I got together with him, had lunch, talked about No Country for Old Men for like 2 hours, because it's the greatest movie ever, George. And I'm surprised your boys don't like that. They gotta love that movie.
No, not really.
Damn. My brother also claims that he rewatched Raising Arizona and it still holds up. That is just as funny and fresh. Now, who knows if that's good old day syndrome. But have they watched Raising Arizona, another Coen Brothers masterpiece?
Yeah.
And just...
No, they thought it was good.
No, come on. No.
They didn't write their college dissertation on it,
okay,
but
well, that's
they
not
thought
the
it was
only
good,
two choices.
Obviously.
I didn't quite get as much sleep as I would have wanted to, and then this morning I was feeling bad last night,
like ill.
Just my back is really hurting, and I feel run down. Mm-hmm. So I'm worried that I've
headache.
Yeah, you know, we've been in planes, and this is always the way that I end up getting sick. I just kind of get the all over body ache, you know, and. So I fear that that's coming on. And I can always trigger myself to go full blown into getting sick by not getting enough sleep.
Right.
So I'm at a real crossroads this morning.
Need
Which
to
way
go,
is it gonna go
back to your hotel room after the show and sleep until tomorrow morning.
Yeah,
I know. I need to go down to these places that we walk by. That are advertising, you go in there and you see people just laying in their dentist chairs getting drips of B12.
Yeah.
That's so weird.
IVs and oxygen.
IVs and they got oxygen strapped to their face. And it's just like you're walking by and it's right next to a Cartier store. It looks like a lot of rich people that have too much money is what it looks like to me.
And they're called something weird, like the store is called Refresh or Revive,
yeah.
Or there are a few of them.
The Store.
Restore, yeah.
Yeah. Gotta get ready to go again, bro.
But first of all, don't ever bro me.
Why not?
Because it's stupid.
I thought that's what we did.
We bro each other.
Oh.
But I do need to do something because I'm about this close to just throwing down my headset and going back to the room and saying, that's all right. It was a good career. I'm
just
done.
Walking out.
Yeah, I'm done. Because
tired.
Yeah, I finally ran out of energy for this job. Okay, so last night, going to Sphere, and I noticed that Buno mispronounced it and said the Sphere. And we get corrected on that, and the Sphere
Either
people
way.
Want to correct you too. Because it's just Sphere. You know, makers of Restore.
Isn't it like Eagles? The band is technically Eagles, but everybody says the Eagles.
Yes.
I went to see the Eagles.
And at some point, even Don Henley says, you got to give up on that.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. It's not that big a deal.
People call you the Eagles. It's like, I don't know if people know this. We are Musers. We are Musers, and that's what we refer to ourselves
right.
as. But people call us the Musers, and we just go with it. We go
with Muse, you know.
Craig, you were talking about the sound system at Sphere. Sphere Immersive Sphere. That's a weird word. Sphere. Sphere Immersive Sound is the world's largest concert-grade audio system.
Okay.
All right.
You're just going to let that dressed-up language go?
No, because I thought they did an amazing job last night of delivering a loud rock concert. That didn't just, you know, blow you away.
Yes. First of all, it was too loud. It was still too loud.
It was not too
Second
loud.
Second of all, the mix was off. The
not
mix
from
was
where
off.
I was. Not from where I was.
Well, it's supposed to be every seat is supposed to be the perfect mix. They brag about this in their...
Okay, what was wrong with the mix?
Okay, one, Adam Clayton's bass did not even show up until about halfway through the set.
I didn't notice that.
The first six songs or so, his bass was almost non-existent. And I felt bad for him up there. He's playing his tail off. He's playing his mustache off. And they don't even have him up loud enough in the mix. Mm-hmm. Meanwhile, the Edge's vocals turned up way louder than Bono's a lot of times. And, you know, the Edge is not using any mic technique because he's wearing a stupid Janet Jackson thing, so he can't do any vocal dynamics with that.
I think for a live mix, it was pretty darn good. I do think there's some legitimacy to what you're saying about the mix and vocals, but now, I've heard that before with those two.
And some of this may have been... Now, some of it may have been intentional on their part because it sounded like they were trying to not do much tracking and have a bunch and have a lot of backing tracks. They did have some with additional sounds that were being added. But it just the mix was not that great. Now, that could be the sound guy, not the sound system.
I don't disagree with you. There were times when I thought I couldn't hear something.
Yeah.
And there were other times when I thought I was hearing a little too much of something. But it was outweighed by the crispness and quality and clarity of the sound.
For a live show,
see,
that was
I disagree
incredible.
With you on that on one very important aspect. And then I think Bono was using what sounded like a horrible microphone for him.
Yes, there were times when he spoke and I couldn't quite understand what he was saying.
It had all the high end rolled off of it. It was like all mid-range, and it looked like it was an SM58 capsule on the top of that wireless pack. But it just sounded like it had no definition and clarity. And when you're in a space like this, which this immersive sound system called Holoplot, which is 3D audio beamforming and wave field synthesis technology that they're using to deliver each and every seat its own personalized audio exploration... and all this high-flown language they throw in here. If it's that good, give him something other than an SM58 that sounds like it's got a damaged capsule.
Yeah, I didn't notice that. I thought, compared to where I've seen him at arenas, I didn't see him at the Death Star for the reason that I think everything sounds like poop in there. I thought that was the best I've heard of him. I think there's a lot... there's a lot of bounce to them, obviously, with the way the Edge plays, and I think it's hard for them to come across. Maybe some of that is how we're used to hearing it, and I think that's hard to duplicate in a live setting.
Granted, especially when you get thick albums like Octoon Baby that have a lot of sounds going on.
A lot of those songs have crazy...
It's hard to reform, but one of the primary things you can do, give your lead singer, who is the human face of the band, a microphone to where you can hear all the definition and detail and breath in his voice. And there just was not enough high end in his microphone. It sounded dull.
The only thing I noticed was during The Fly, the second song they played. Did you guys notice when Edge's guitar went silent?
Yeah.
And he was stamping on his board, on his pedals, trying to bring it back to life. But it was about
a whole verse or so,
30 to 45 seconds where you couldn't hear his guitar at all. That was the only snafu
I heard.
It's
good to know that big-time bands have failure, too, when it comes to why something shorts out or doesn't go at a certain moment.
He's got an incredibly overcomplicated rig.
Yeah.
And when I've seen interviews with Dallas, I'm like, I'm not sure that's the guy that I'd trust to go with something overcomplicated. But God bless Dallas. It was cool seeing him. He's a very famous tech. You know, I have an affinity for techs. But that was Edge's guitar tech, and the Edge has one of the most complicated systems ever when it comes to guitar. But as I was reading back through the, like, writings and Wikipedia entries on the album Octoon Baby, which was the emphasis of last night's Sphere show, what a bunch of malarkey that people throw around. And it's not just that band, but it's...
Well, throw it at us and we'll see if it's accurate.
Whereas Bono exhibited a full-throated vocal delivery on the group's previous releases, for Octoon Baby, he extended his range into a lower register and used what is described as breathy and subdued colors.
Oh, I can see that.
It's colors.
Yeah, for sure.
Looking for the texture and the cinematic. While eschewing the deconstructionism of parsimony, U2 wanted to communicate between the spaces, with Bono saying that lowering his voice helped him find a new vocal vocabulary that was not alienating to the concept of distance and the oblique. Oftentimes, intrapersonal, the Edge was left advocating for more personal themes, despite the return to Dadaist themes and a gentle exploration of exploitation and stratified examination of consumerism.
Yeah, I just think he has some really cool riffs in that album.
This became subject to degrees in textual reinterpretation.
Who wrote that?
I'm sure Bono did.
I doubt it.
It's a bunch of over-analyzed crap. It's just it's just kind of cool music. We're kind of doing we're going more industrial sounding here, and we're gonna have we're gonna kind of attack consumerism. That's all you need to say. You don't put all this stuff in there.
Well, I would bet 99.9% of the people that went last night would say, "Who's the guy talking about not enough high end on the SM58?" I mean, how much detail do you want to talk about or accept or, you know, critique?
Well, this was BS. You know that this was BS, what I just said. Right?
About not enough high-end? Yes,
and you defending this textual Dadaism, reinterpretation
of the textual.
No, I'm not defending
it. I'm not defending it. It lost me halfway in.
You know how I know it's stupid? Because I just basically word saladed what they had thrown out there. I added some fake stuff in there.
Oh, you did?
Yeah. That you were defending when you thought it was from them. But no, I would argue that it's much more important to have the vocals audible. And yes, the people in the stands are not going to think, oh, it's got a damaged capsule in the microphone or whatever. Yeah, they're not going to think that. But they can think what Craig thought, which is like, it was kind of hard to understand him talking. Well, when there's certain frequencies missing and frequency spectrums missing, yeah, you're missing out on the part of his voice that is intelligible.
You know, but for the most part, I thought the sound was really great. And I wonder if that, just the acoustics of a ball, of a sphere, I wonder if it's just hard to navigate, or they're trying to work through a bunch of kinks since they're basically the first band in there, and they're still trying to play with it. That
I think there is some of that.
You didn't notice that the Edge's voice was way forward in the mix, even more than Bono's.
Sometimes I did. Where I was sitting, I was in the perfect spot. I was, you know, right in the middle of the stage, you know, 30 yards away.
They're all perfect spots.
Well, maybe. But I think I had a different vantage point audibly than you did.
I also think that was maybe on purpose, because I think Edge needs to give Bono a little more help with the vocals these days, because Bono's voice...
And we're going to talk about that when?
8:15. It's not what it was. And so there were times last night when Bono was letting the crowd sing more, I think letting Edge sing more.
The Edge was covering for him a lot.
And I was okay with that, because the Edge can still hit those high notes.
Mm-hmm.
I think Bono had a lot of, we'll talk about it at 8:15, I thought he had a lot of
bad moments.
Dude in his 60s, pretty amazing vocally. I thought he would pass up some of the vocals that he took on.
My main criticism of the show is they didn't show me enough on the projections.
He's not kidding about that.
He's not kidding, and that's fine.
I was waiting for you guys to make that joke, and I had to make it because you didn't.
You know about Bono's voice, that new album that they put out with all the songs stripped down? It's just him and the Edge. His voice, when it's just real low-key like that, is gorgeous.
Yeah.
Like, as pretty as I've ever heard it. It's just that he doesn't have the range that he used to. And he can't, I mean, no one has thrashed their voice over the years in rock like Bono from the Unforgettable Fire era, where he is just screaming in every song.
It's smart that what he's doing, yeah.
Yeah, so no wonder he can't do all that at age 62.
And you know I love my bass players. Love my bass players.
Here we go.
But did Adam Clayton have to switch basses?
Yep.
14 times throughout the show. And he's switching basses. Now, normally when a bass player switches basses, he's putting on a 5-string, or he's got to put on a specific kind of bass. Where he was using basically precision setups and jazz setups the whole time.
Okay, Mr. Keith, how many basses do you own?
Way too many.
No, answer the question. How many bases do you own?
Dude, he was switching bases almost more frequently than the edge.
And Mr.
Guitars.
Keith, are you currently on tour with a band, so you need a lot of bases?
Okay.
I rest my case.
You wait. I'm going to start switching microphones during segments. This next paragraph, I need something with a little bit more mid-range.
You know what? If there was anyone on the ticket that would do that, it would be you.
And that'd be fine.
By the way, how'd you think Adam sounded and played?
When I could hear him?
Yeah.
Very basic.
Oh,
serviceable. Geez. Serviceable. I do love Adam's presence, though. He has a coolness to him.
Yes, he definitely does.
That I like. And I like that he had that Sully mustache going. That was funny.
Yeah.
All right, we'll give you a full review coming up at 8:15 of U2 at the Sphere last night here in Las Vegas.
I count the short little medleys as well, because
no.
They had like a little medley with Gloria.
Yeah, that does not count those, so they added in a few of those.
Does Love Me Tender count?
No, they didn't count that.
Yeah, that's just within a song.
A lot of Elvis in that show.
And that made me think of Larry Mullen Jr., who's a huge Elvis fan. I thought the backup drummer, though, Vandenberg?
Yeah.
Did I get that right? Yeah. He was great.
Yeah.
And you couldn't really...
Yeah,
I loved him. I thought in a lot of ways he was more interesting for me to watch than Larry.
He was very understated, too.
He knew it wasn't about him. He had an expressive face, though. I just loved the intensity of his eyes. And he
was really good.
And his wardrobe change when he came back for the encore. He was wearing the Elvis mugshot shirt.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
At one point, Bono wished a happy birthday to Chris Rock, who was there last night.
Yeah. Yes, we had celebrities there. In that box with him
Adam Sandler.
Adam Sandler.
Really?
David Spade. And then right next to them, Jason Kelsey and Roger Goodell.
Really?
Yeah.
Hold on, I'm insane.
The two center suites.
They're in a different suite, but they were in the suite next to him. I didn't explain that very well. It was right above y'all.
Right,
where those suites up there. It was Chris Rock's birthday, and
because right between the 100 and 200 levels, there's a little band of suites for the high rollers that I'm sure have their special secret entrance.
Yeah.
Okay.
Their Illuminati entrance.
Yeah.
Boy, and how about that? If Chris Rock got a shout out from Bono and he sang happy birthday to him,
it's not that great a thing.
Are you kidding me?
Okay. Chris Rock, I'm sorry.
Chris Rock's 50 times more famous than Bono.
Ooh.
Well, I was trying to put. I'm
Ooh,
trying to put
hold
ourselves
there.
In that to have Bono say
wow,
I don't, happy
dude.
Birthday.
There is
pretty cool.
No way Chris Rock is more famous than Bono.
Oh, my God.
There is no
crazy.
Worldwide.
You're high.
You're
yes.
out of your mind.
You are
yes.
so high.
Okay, ask anyone 30 years old.
You are out of your mind.
I would say in the United States, Chris Rock is more famous. But worldwide, I would say Bono's more famous.
Yes. There's no question.
Worldwide, yeah, no question.
All right, so...
God, you are such a Rick with a.
Yeah, his name is Richard.
Yeah.
Gordon
okay,
Richard
he's going to clam up. All right.
We could do 10 more segments on this, and I know you guys on the Hardline will talk a lot about it.
Yeah, we'll definitely have more thoughts later on today.
Sean was there. We posted some pictures on Twitter and Instagram, and that video you posted, Davey, was also great on Twitter. It showed the rotating stage on.
The great thing is when you're on the floor, you can almost you lean back further than 90 degrees to see the top.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was taking a video and scrolling up, and it just keeps scrolling. You're like, how much further can this go? And then the last thing you see is this giant floating head. It's the most bizarre thing.
Let me see what Taylor's going to do there. You think she'll perform there? She's got to.
Oh, got to be.
Yeah.
That's the great thing about the venue is that because of the resources that a band will have to put into creating videos custom for that environment, it's going to only allow for a certain level of celebrity to perform there.
Yeah.
And I think the schedule that the Dead are doing, where they're just doing weekends like Thursday, Friday, Saturday, or Friday, Saturday, Sunday for like 6 weeks, that's going to kind of be the model, I think.
Who's the other band? It's the Dead and
Fish.
And Fish is
yeah.
Gonna,
okay. Those are good. Those are good. I mean, I don't care about either of those
out
bands.
That thing.
As long as I had a chair, I would love to see those.
I can't imagine being on shrooms or acid.
Yeah, people will freak out.
A show there.
There will be hospitalizations, I think.
Outside and inside. Outside, it's incredible. As I said to Troy, it looks like a hologram right in the middle of the city because it's animated. It blinks at you. It's an eye. It can be a Super Bowl ring. It can be a tennis ball. It's incredible just walking up to it to have that as a feature inside your city. Now you add into it the fact that you can go inside it and do shows inside of it. That, to me, is the marvel.
Yeah.
That is the technological wizardry that we now live in. And there's going to be more of these things, I think, built around the world, at least ideas like this. The projections were incredible inside. The visuals were fantastic. I had some criticisms of the music and the mix and everything, but the overall experience of it was awesome because of the venue.
You know, right before the show started, Gordon and Bob and I walked all the way to the top because we wanted to see what the view was like up there. Three very long escalators to get to the very top of the 400 level. You are a mile up there, but the view that those folks have, pretty spectacular because you see the entire screen all around you and behind you. And while you are really far removed from the stage, it looked like also a great experience up there.
Yeah, I don't think you have to be near them. I mean, it's a different experience, and it's cool to be near them. But you could totally get your money's worth watching that in the upper section of that and
absolutely
just watching the visuals.
Yeah. Well, we were saying that we were close enough on the floor that Jubb could throw a spiral to Bono, and he could toe drag the riser at the top.
Yeah, we were, what'd you figure, Dave, 20, 21 rows back?
Yeah, if there were actual rows, we would be about 20 rows back. And, yeah, it is all about the venue. I used to be a huge U2 fan. I don't really keep up with them anymore. I don't actively seek out to listen to them. But there were so many songs last night that I would punch out of if it was on the radio. But I loved it.
Mm-hmm.
It was just an amazing accompaniment with the visuals and the venue and being that intimate when you're on the floor. And, you know, I would just say, because it is about the venue, that you need to go see someone there.
Yeah.
Even if you're just mildly interested, you need to have somebody that moves the needle for you a little, but then you need to make sure that it's somebody that you like enough, because you only have one first time at the Sphere.
Yeah.
And you need to make that the most magical experience it can possibly be, because it's mind-blowing.
And they're going to start pushing it more and more. I mean, this is the first act who's really done anything there. I can't wait to see all of the visual designs that they're going to start doing at that
place. Yeah.
As they push these designs further and further. I thought that there was a real chance to do more with the, when they played with the perspective one time, they played with the perspective of the place by making it look like the ceiling was closing down on you, and they made it into a box.
Right, yeah.
I thought
the random characters were projecting kind of like the Matrix.
But all of a sudden you were in a square, a rectangle, as opposed to a sphere, and that was awesome.
Yeah, the ceiling was coming
ceiling
down on you.
Ceiling came down on top of you.
But see, that started before the show for us on the floor, because Davey and I looked up, and it looked like we're at the bottom of a volcano. We know that it's a sphere, but we looked up, and it looked like...
Yeah, it looked like it went on twice as high as it was.
Like 150 stories, just way up at the top. There's a black hole up there.
An opening that opened up to the night sky.
Yeah, when you walk in, it's like you are walking into like a Roman ruin or an Aztec ruin or something, with the hole at the very top, and then at some point there was like a plane or a bird that flew over. Mm-hmm. But it's all a projection.
It's not even projection. It's
LED. I keep using the word projection incorrectly. Yes, it's all LED. But your eyes are tricked when you're walking in there. Like, is that a texture, or is that the screens, or what is that?
And they start off with that cool feature of it looked like you're sitting in a concrete dome or sphere or ball. And they start playing, and the rattling of the instruments in the low end starts making cracks inside it. It looks like dust is coming out.
Yeah.
And it looks like the whole
light
thing
going through the mortar.
Yeah, light going through the mortar. It looks like the place is about to collapse in on you. That was cool.
There were two or three things that I really loved. I loved all of the projection. All of the display. But the three that stood out to me during Even Better Than the Real Thing, when the backdrop was rotating with all those old Elvis scenes, and it made it look like the stage was rotating.
So freaky. It looked like this, from our vantage point, looked like the stage was rising.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. They're going to fall off.
Yeah.
And then I had to catch myself.
It made you dizzy almost.
Yeah.
It was so...
When they had like the disco ball too. it would make your head get really disoriented.
There was one song where all four of them were really huge on the screen up above the stage, and so the camera was on each one of them the whole time, a super close-up shot, and it was really cool to watch each of them performing for as long as you wanted to watch them. Just, it was like you were standing right in front of the edge, 2 feet in front of him. You could see every detail of his face and him on the guitar neck and everything.
What's crazy is the screens were so the resolution was so high, and the camera resolution was so high. They make it to where it's very minimal, the cameras that are around them, and the stage is very unadorned.
Yeah.
And the camera's very unobtrusive. But when they were showing from behind Bono, one of the cameras was behind Bono showing out into the audience, and you can see yourself.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, it's such high resolution, you can see everybody's face.
It's like they
audience.
Have the contrast turned way up.
Yeah.
I saw George and Davey.
Did you?
Yeah, on that big screen.
Oh, wow.
Right there in front of Bono.
Yeah, because all the cameras are robotic.
Yeah.
And so there's not, like, camera guys running around on the stage. Everything is seamless.
Mm-hmm. And it was almost as if you were in different venues last night. You had to feel that you're in an arena for most of the night. But when they would go to a desert backdrop or a night backdrop,
it looked like you were outside.
We would turn around, and it looked like y'all were in half of a stadium.
Yeah.
Sitting behind us, mm-hmm. and it could have been, you know, an old baseball stadium or something, and the edges of the upper decks stood out, and it was just, oh man, it was just wild.
Well, there were also moments too where they would kind of kill all the visuals, and they would have some lights backlighting behind the LED screens, and so it was kind of like a cage backdrop. Mm-hmm. And it was like you, when we were down on the floor, it was like you were watching them in a small club.
How about the
moment? It made the whole venue go away.
How about the moment, Davey, you posted this picture on Twitter when they said, we're gonna do away with the Sphere. And so it's what Vegas looked like outside of the Sphere. And it was the city skyline at night.
And it looked exactly like the...
Exactly.
Like when we were standing out that media party and we were looking at the skyline.
Yeah.
It was exactly that. And then they started deconstructing it, and building by building, they took it down.
With cranes and everything.
With cranes.
It was like
reverse of it being built, until there was nothing but a desert landscape.
It was back to Las Vegas before there
was
a city.
It tricked us because Jubb thought it was like a live feed at first.
Yeah.
He was like,
you could stand out
on the corner and just dance
if you knew
what time of
the show. Yeah.
And I thought at first, I wonder if that is like a live feed. And then I noticed the way the cars were moving, and they made the cars where they were almost hitting each other every time to have like this other little subtle drama that was going on within the picture.
Yeah, there's almost a rear-end collision
where
somebody didn't know which way they were going to go.
One guy would pull out right in front of the other one and swerve. It was great.
As far as the band and the music, they've been at this for 45 years. Bono has thrashed his voice unlike maybe any other vocalist over that period of time. You can tell that his voice is all 62 years of that. He couldn't quite belt it out or scream like he used to. Couldn't hit those high notes. So he was singing differently. I felt like he was pacing his voice. He was getting more backup help from the edge. But he saved it for a few moments where he still sounded really good. But I felt for him because you could tell that he couldn't sing like he could 30 years
ago. Well, he could still hit some of those falsettos.
His range is
still great.
And I would say 9 years after that's the last time I saw him, was 2015 at the United Center in Chicago. I thought he was stronger vocally last night than he was then.
Really?
That's good.
Yeah. So I thought he had a great night. And just like Patrick Mahomes, there is no one as unique as the Edge
or as cocky.
It's okay.
That's okay.
You can do that and sing like that.
I'm with you.
I don't care,
that
man.
That slow walk at the beginning when he's the last one.
He's one of the coolest guys on earth, and that's fine with me.
Looking all like Richard Gere and a toque.
One of my favorite moments was Mysterious Ways at the very end where he plays that solo and the camera was right up on him and he was dancing in front of the camera, hugely projected up onto, displayed up on the screen. That was such a great moment. I get chills watching that.
Another guy with unnecessary guitar changes.
Okay.
When your guitar is played that wet, you don't need all those
different
guitars.
Mr. Keith, how many guitars do you own?
Well, I don't.
And why do you own so many guitars? I think you're searching for some sort of tone, aren't you? Thank you.
Right.
Rest.
I was excited, though, when he brought that tuxedo Strat out.
Oh, God.
Because I knew it was going to be Where the Streets Have No Name, because that's the one he has always played on that song.
Yeah.
And that is always, to me, one of the greatest arena songs of all time, is Where the Streets Have No Name.
Yeah. Yeah.
That was a great moment.
Yeah.
Yeah. I've cried before going to see them, and I thought I was going to do that a bunch last night. The one song that got me was One. It always gets me. And
yeah.
Man, that got me last night. It was just beautiful.
He didn't
song.
Bug you the edge messing up that riff over and
he
over
didn't
again?
Mess up
okay.
anything.
All right.
He didn't mess up anything.
I also usually tear up during their shows, and I teared up during All I Want Is You because Bono dedicated it to all the women in the world and on their U2 crew, and he said our wives and our daughters. And then he goes into that song, which we actually had played during the early part of our wedding. I don't know if you remember that. It was when people were being seated or during the procession or something. So that got me. I started tearing up during that. And just their band is the soundtrack of my life and your life too, George. And George introduced me to U2 when we were in college in 1984, and he said, we got to go to Mr. Gaddy's and watch MTV. Because,
we didn't have cable at the dorm.
Yeah, we didn't have cable. He said, because they're going to play this video, U2 at Red Rocks, and I hear it's incredible. And I didn't really know anything about U2 that night, and so that was a life-changing moment for us.
Yeah, I thought about that last night, too, just
when
how
Party
great
Girl
that was.
Came on, I thought immediately of Red Rocks.
Yeah.
Because we used to watch that Red Rocks concert video all the time and got into Party Girl, and me and my brother, when we were learning how to play instruments, that was one of the first songs we would play.
Yeah.
I love the Crowded House cover of Don't Dream It's Over.
Yeah, that was
a great,
great
surprise.
Beautiful.
They did 23 songs total, a couple of encores.
Does that count the short little medleys as well?
Because
they had like a little medley with Gloria.
Yeah, that does not count those, so they added in a few of those.
Does Love Me Tender count?
No, they didn't count that.
Yeah, that's just within a song.
A lot of Elvis. A lot of Elvis in that show.
And that made me think of Larry Mullen Jr., who's a huge Elvis fan. I thought the backup drummer, though, Bran Vandenberg.
Yeah.
Did I get that right? Yeah. He was great.
Yeah.
And you couldn't really.
I loved him. I thought in a lot of ways he was more interesting for me to watch than Larry.
He was very understated, too.
He
knew it wasn't about him.
He had an expressive face, though.
Yeah.
I just loved the intensity of his eyes and.
And he was really good.
And his wardrobe change when he came back for the encore, he was wearing the Elvis mugshot shirt.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Yeah.
At one point, Bono wished a happy birthday to Chris Rock, who was there last night.
Yeah. Yes, we had celebrities there. In that box with him was
Adam Sandler.
Adam Sandler.
Really?
David Spade. And then right next to them, Jason Kelsey and Roger Goodell.
Really?
Yeah.
Hold on, I'm insane. Right above
the two center suites.
They're in a different suite,
okay.
But they were in the suite next to them. I didn't explain that very well. And it was right above y'all.
Right over your seats
were those suites up there. It was Chris Rock's birthday, and
yeah, because right between the 100 and 200 levels, there's a little band of suites for the high rollers that I'm sure have their special secret entrance.
Yeah.
Okay.
Their Illuminati entrance.
Yeah.
Boy, and how about that? If Chris Rock got a shout out from Bono and he sang happy birthday to him.
It's not that great a thing.
Are you kidding me?
Okay.
Chris Rock.
I'm sorry.
Chris Rock's 50 times more famous than Bono.
Ooh.
Well, I was trying to put ourselves in that, to have Bono sing happy birthday to you is pretty cool.
No way Chris Rock is more famous than Bono.
Oh, my God.
There is no
crazy.
Worldwide?
You're high.
You're
yes.
out of your mind.
You are
yes.
so high.
Okay, ask anyone 30 years old.
You are out of your mind.
I would say in the United States, Chris Rock is more famous, but worldwide, I would say Bono's more famous.
Yes, there's no question.
Worldwide, yeah, no question.
All right, so...
But you are such a Rick with a P.
Yeah, his name is Richard.
Yeah.
Gordon
okay,
Richard
he's going to clam up. All right.
We could do 10 more segments on this, and I know you guys on the Hardline will talk a lot
about
it. Yeah,
we'll definitely have more thoughts later on today.
Sean was there. We posted some pictures on Twitter and Instagram, and that video you posted, Davey, was also great on Twitter. It showed the rotating stage on...
The great thing is when you're on the floor, you can almost you lean back further than 90 degrees to see the top.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was taking a video and scrolling up, and it just keeps scrolling. You're like, how much further can this go? And then the last thing you see is this giant floating head. It's the most bizarre thing.
Let's see what Taylor's going to do there. You think she'll perform there? She's got to
perform. Oh, got to be.
Yeah.
That's the great thing about the venue is that because of the resources that a band will have to put into creating videos custom for that environment, it's going to only allow for a certain level of celebrity to perform there.
Yeah.
And I think the schedule that the Dead are doing, where they're just doing weekends like Thursday, Friday, Saturday, or Friday, Saturday, Sunday for like 6 weeks, that's going to kind of be the model, I think.
Who's the other band? It's the Dead and
Fish.
And Fish is
going to. Yeah, those are good. Those are good. I mean, I don't care about either of those bands.
That thing.
As long as I had a chair, I would love to see those.
I can't imagine being on shrooms or acid.
Yeah, people will freak out.
A show there.
There will be hospitalizations, I think.